This is Radio Free Cybertron with your host, Brian Kilby, featuring Chris, Don, Rob, Diecast, John, and Melvar. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit tformers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 429, and I crashed. I'm kidding. Last week, we crashed a lot. Yeah. I'm Brian Kilby, and with me this week, we have Headmaster Don, Chris, Diecast, Melvar, John, and Rob. Gentlemen, how's it going?
Not bad.
Hey, Don, your internet's looking really good this week.
Yes, apparently the gods are favoring me with one good week.
Oh, I thought something had happened and Don found out that he's actually been connected to a light socket or something instead of a...
You know, I remember years ago seeing the little boxes you're supposed to be able to plug into your wall outlets, and they would somehow extend your...
Those work great now.
...internet connection.
Those work fantastically well in 2015.
I bet.
In 2003, no. Those are my little building outside where I do all of my exercise stuff. That's how I have internet out there. I have it done over the power line. Works great.
Huh. I thought you were being sarcastic.
No, seriously, in 2015 it works great and they're cheap. Seriously, works great.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's not quite as fast, but it's the same ping, so it's kind of weird. But 20 megabits per second still fine for most of anything.
Oh, screw you.
Sorry. Okay. Interesting show this week, I think. Quite a few things. And I seriously have something that I'm not trolling. So if you're looking at the YouTube video or you see the thumbnail, I'm totally serious about that. So we'll get to it later. Hey, so thank you to everyone out there who has left a review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. But those of you who haven't, and I'm pointing at you, please do. It doesn't cost a thing. You don't even have to go to tfradio.net/Amazon, and it helps people find RFC. Seriously. Like, I would really appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. And from the bottom of Don's heart. Don has a huge heart. Thank you very much.
Don, you should get that worked out.
Yeah, it's probably falling apart like the rest of me.
Hey, so I don't really talk about stuff like this every episode, or I rarely do, but it's everyone's first episode. So Radio Free Cybertron is the Transformers podcast. We're the very first one. We're one of the first podcasts ever, going back to 1999. We've been doing this for a while, and we're the official podcast of tformers.com. We're the official PK podcast of tformers.com, and sometimes we screw up. But it's fun. We love doing the show. And we are here as an outlet for news and stuff.
And lots of news.
We have a whole network of shows. And the most popular show right now is the Minicast. Everyone loves the Minicast, John.
Yeah. In your face.
Yeah, in your internet. Face, RFC.
No, just the internet.
Just the internet. But yeah, so...
And RFC.
So I just want to get that spiel out there. So if this is your first episode, welcome. I'm sorry.
And go listen to some minicasts.
Yeah. Trying to book Mons for next week.
Nice.
Is it? We'll find out.
Yes. Pretty sweet. So, yeah. Hey, did anybody get anything cool this week? I finally got my Devastator from tfradio.net/Amazon. And, he is big.
What else?
That's all I've heard.
He's uncomfortably large.
That's not as bad as Metroplex.
But Metroplex is one solid thing.
And yet I find Devastator easier to handle.
I could see that.
He combines so well, as far as, you know, with all those extra locking tabs they have, he feels a lot sturdier than a lot of single-piece figures I've held in similar sizes.
I guess my one problem with it, if you are going to display it, you need to display it as Devastator, because I'm not super crazy about the individual components.
Well, like Scavenger.
He's so...
Scavenger is really nice.
Yeah. And Bone Crusher's nice, too, but yeah, the rest of them are kind of...
Not as nice, but yeah.
Well, Scrapper's always been one of my favorites, just because it's a simple design, but it pulls it off well. Plus,
and when I get the Takara version, I may agree with you.
Yeah, but the face sculpts, I think, is one of the resounding successes on the Hasbro version. Is now, why did you do that?
And for new listeners, Don is talking to his cat Massey, who will attack him randomly throughout the show.
Yes.
No, the face sculpts are done really nice, which is kind of a double-edged thing for Scavenger, since that's always been a really doofy-looking face design.
Yes.
If there was ever one place to defer to the toy version, that would have been it, but no. No, I think, yeah, the Takara versions are going to be good for individual display, but the Hasbro one's really good as being a Devastator.
Yeah, and I really appreciate it as Devastator. It's just he's so big. I would like that. I don't know. I know it makes no sense, but as the little itty bitty single pieces in G1, the color of the Constructicons makes sense. But this massively big, I would kind of like them to be a little more quote unquote grown up, and maybe just a slight bit darker.
Who are
you?
I know.
The green is a little bit pale.
What they need a just a little bit darker green paint wash.
Yes. Yes. That would make sense.
That would help a lot. My one complaint, which I have not voiced anywhere until now because it's really silly, I think they're too big because Leader Ultra Magnus cannot grab two of them and slap them together. Because all things in Classics have to be measured against Carnage and C Minor. That's so a rule now.
I have to say, Citizen Stack probably could.
Masterpiece probably could too.
Maybe,
it's pretty big.
Maybe I don't see where he's somewhere. But yeah, I like.
You don't
it.
Know where you put him?
No, I don't.
Gosh.
Remember that time Kilby lost Wave 1 of Combiner Wars for like 2 months?
I found him eventually.
I know you did. That's why eventually. I said you lost him for 2 months.
No, I just saw Magnus. Stack is bigger. I don't think Masterpiece Magnus is quite large enough to do that. But yeah, I like it, and I definitely recommend everyone buy it. TF4.net/Devastator.
Yeah.
Devastator.
But, so basically, Masterpiece Ultra Magnus, he can't handle Devastator.
Yeah, he can't deal with that now.
You mean he can't deal with Devastator right now? Is that what you were trying to say, Don?
I was busy having a kitty cat attack.
Don can't.
Good, pick him up. He'll attack some more.
Yes.
That's good.
Get him on camera.
Yeah, at least get on video. Oh, he looks upset.
Hey, Don, take off your headset and put it on Massey real quick.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we need that screenshot.
Well. You're trying to get Don killed.
Hey there, Massey. Hey there, Massey. You're a good boy. You're a good boy.
That's a mistake.
I expected as much.
Well, I thought maybe even hearing the voices might make him, like,
calm him down.
Hears voices. That's the problem.
Oh, that was awesome.
Also, Don, he's a cat. His hearing's a lot better. He can hear us through the headset while you're wearing it.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty neat.
No, I just assumed the whole point of putting the headset on Massey was just to antagonize him further and, you know, provoke an attack.
That's
to be fair, that was a lot less violent than I was expecting the reaction to be.
Yeah,
there were no claws or anything.
No, he just took off.
So, anybody else get anything besides Devastator? Matt, you got Devastator.
Yeah, I got my Devastator from
tfradio.net/Amazon.
I love Devastator. The individual Constructicons leave a little bit to be desired.
How do you feel about Mixmaster, Matt?
So, I also got from tfradio.net/Amazon... Transformers Adventure Roadblock.
So my Roadblock, which I got a couple weeks ago in the mail, same source, was setting out just on my desk, and which is where I had the individual Constructicons at. So I kept reaching for him when I was trying to combine them, and I'm like, oh wait, no, wrong. And I did it like 3 or 4 times, even though it's not the same color, but it just kept confusing me.
And I also got my subscription service, Serpento R.
How much did you pay for it?
I bought the subscription.
I thought you specifically didn't do the subscription because of
No, this
pub.
Is the first one I have done.
Oh, okay.
And so he's pretty great. So I went and bought a bunch more Vipers today to give him some minions.
I'm so jealous.
TFradio.net/Amazon.
Well, now, Matt, how did that yellow turn out in person versus the gold?
It's pretty waxy. I'm not happy with that. I like the green though.
Yeah.
So if you can get past the waxy yellow, I love this mold anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's probably the best example I've ever had of a toy's paint job changing so radically to make me go from yes, must get to maybe not.
I'm sure we could dig and find other examples, but yeah, this is a good one.
Yeah.
So, John, you got Serpentor also, so what do you think about
first,
that?
First, as usual.
Yes, you got it first, and that was acknowledged.
In your face, Internet, again.
Yeah, because Brian Savage just threw it off on his way home. He just threw you the box.
Yes.
Toy
like
drive-by.
Like a bag of puppies. He just threw it out of his truck.
Does he drop off White Castle at the same time, or?
That was Pete, not Ryan Savage.
No. Why would you even want White Castle anywhere in the vicinity of you anyway? It's
screw you, Don. So no, but Brian Savage does drop off personalized Oklahoma jokes. So yeah,
all right,
good times.
Yeah, that was fun.
2012 is just full of such memories.
Yeah. So what do you think, John? You like it?
I like that mold. I mean, I like Ratbat 1,000 times more, but I don't mind it. The thing is, like, if they were going to do that metallic gold, obviously the only way you can do it is paint. So that was really never going to happen. But, I like him. Whatever. I like the Scourge mold as a base, and I like that alternate head quite a bit. And he's surprisingly Serpentor-y. So no complaints.
I don't have anything yet, Brian, but Friday I will be getting through TF Radio.
We've plugged enough right now. Yeah, what are you getting, Don?
Okay, I'm getting a book I've been looking forward to. I'm also getting the Robots in Disguise G1 Grimlock recolor. That's available on the site, and I picked up an $8 Tankor because I wasn't gonna pay full price for Generations Tankor.
But Generations Tankor is not bad at all.
It's okay.
It's Tankor. It's Beast Machines versus the actual.
Oh, Don. Thing.
Oh, that Tankor.
Yeah, that Tankor. Yeah.
Oh, Don. Okay.
So yeah, but I mean, $8. I don't have it. So.
So Don, when TFYLP happens Friday, you can talk about that book.
I won't be on it Friday.
No. Oh. I was being
so the book you were looking forward to, Don, that home course on animal husbandry you've been talking about for a while.
No, it's book 8 of the Kate Daniels series from Alona Andrews. It's an urban fantasy series, awesome series.
Oh, I thought it was a Transformers related book.
No, that's why I didn't go into detail about the title. But yeah, that's
man, we've stepped into the lower rung of nerdery.
Well, it's a good series. So,
hey, real quick, I'm Serpentor Rock.
Yes.
I demand a third party make a cape and like an air chariot. Even though he turns into like a flying vehicle, I don't care. He needs an air chariot.
Oh, there must be some. There's probably another Transformer you can repurpose to be an air chariot.
You could just get another Serpentor and
he can ride it like the Green Goblin. I don't know.
No. I mean, just like get a sweep and do that.
Yes,
or better idea, like, better idea. Get two more Vipers and strap them to the feet. And instead of an air chariot, he has air skates.
Nice.
Very nice.
So I've been doing a little bit of catch-up. I did not do this through tfradio.net/Amazon. I just went to a damn Target and got Legends Skywarp and Rodimus.
You like Rodimus?
It's pretty nice. The mold feels better as Blackjack, but I appreciate just, having another example of it in bright colors.
So
especially since Runabout's going to be primarily dark also when that comes out.
Oh, I forgot about Runabout. Yeah.
So I'm guessing your target
is going to be purple.
Yeah. So I'm guessing your target has done the resets, or did it just sneak out?
I think it was in the process of it because I also got non-Transformers related. I got two of these Assassin's Creed Mega Bloks minifigure packs for $5 on clearance.
So they were. It said as is. Do you ever find out what that meant?
Oh, no, these ones aren't as-is. These ones actually do just say clearance, and they were half the price of the as-is ones. So,
gotcha.
Figure that out yourself. Okay. the Target I found these Legends at did not have any deluxes out at all. So, there was just a solid case of the Legends on the pegs and kind of falling off onto the shelf, so I was able to get these two, but like if they were doing the reset, they were like right in the early stages of it.
Has anyone heard if there's a Blackjack remix, a wave with Blackjack being back in the mix assortment? Because I know a lot of people still need that figure, and it was not common anywhere around here.
The problem with the Generations Legends assortment right now is that Decepticon characters do not run more than one wave.
So I saw a ton of them during Jolanta, at the very least. Down in Atlanta,
which would have been timed for it. I mean,
yeah.
And Viper was the one that was short packed in those cases too. There were two of Blackjacks to every Viper.
Was Viper and Blackjack in the same wave?
No, Power Glide was the wave before that. Yeah.
Or two Warpaths to every Viper.
Warpath. Okay.
Yeah.
Who cares? Right. Yeah, but yes.
Well, nobody cared about Warpath.
I know.
But there were two of them to every Viper.
And it's weird. I've only seen one more path in the wild, and between here and
I've only seen a couple.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a Blackjack for a friend, and I have not seen one since I purchased mine.
Like probably your only hope for that is, you know, just like hit Toys R Us and hope.
Yeah. Hey, so this week in history, Don, I'm going to need your help. So this week in history in 1995 was BotCon 95, the second BotCon, and you were there.
Yep, it was run by Raksha, who was well known in the Transformers. She was well known in the Transformers fandom. She stepped away for the most part, but she is still very popular
because she's smart.
But and that was the year that we got Night Racer, which was the first official female Transformer as far as toy produced, which was a recolor of one of the GoBots,
Bumblebee.
Well, okay, but I couldn't remember which one it was a recolor of.
Yeah.
So, and that was it was a fun convention. I remember having a lot of fun at 95. I don't remember any specifics, but
it can only be surpassed by BotCon 96.
Oh, go to hell!
Oh God. So,
when do we do the this week in history on BotCon 96?
Next week?
Never.
Probably. I'll tell you. I'll just check TF Wiki right now.
I won't mention who organized 1996 if they're still in existence. They
probably don't.
But I really hope they never do a convention again.
I don't think they're in the position to do another convention.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, cake on napkins with no.
Don, don't spoil it. Wait till we actually do the segment.
Okay, all right. Okay.
We'll have to do a special on it.
No, we don't.
Let's do it. Hey. We should do a mini cast on it.
Hey, no, because I'm serious. I will have flashbacks. I will get angry. I will say things that I won't, that I'll regret. Yeah,
I mean, there could be a whole.
That's what people want to hear.
There could be like a whole series of minicast episodes, just Don's recollections of BotCon year by year.
Yeah, I would want to get somebody else with him.
Okay,
actually at the
we should record those soon, though, because you know Don's getting up there and his memory might be fading.
Well,
so.
I've said this before. To be honest, a lot of the BotCons are running together as far as specific conventions with specific things.
That's why you refer to notes. I mean, so. Yeah.
Hey, Don, let's do a series where it's just minicasts carefully analyzing and reviewing each BotCon collector's plate. How about that?
Collector's plate.
That's
plates,
like the NPR
man.
Of Transformers podcast.
But like,
let's talk about plates.
But like,
you know what I went through on them plates, John? I've told you that story.
Tell it again for the people.
BotCon 96 was in July.
I've only got one plate. It's one of the best plates, but I've only got one plate. It's Robots in Disguise, Optimus, and Megatron from RID1.
Yeah. So BotCon 96 was in July. So.
Okay, make a note for next year.
Yeah.
You're determined to make me just have an aneurysm on camera, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay. If the cat won't cooperate, I mean, we got to go with Plan Blee.
So it's that you're suffering
like
from
French.
What I'm suffering from. Hey, so also this week in history in 2003, first Micron Booster Series is released in Japan at stores participating in the TF Station affiliate program. I remember this being kind of a big deal because new Minicons. And Minicons were the thing.
I saw Minicons at my Walmart and I passed on them. Those RID, Rapat, and whatever else
is
in that wave.
I haven't seen those yet. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw them for the first time and I was like, I don't need these.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. And if the only Minicon that I'm in recent memory that I would like to have seen is if they had made Ambus, what's his name, a Minicon. Yeah, if they had made him a Minicon with a Minicon port on Magnus for storage, it would make sense.
That but would be good.
Yeah.
But I need storage for that.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. That I would have liked to have seen that as a Minicon. But in general, no more Minicons, please.
I mean, okay, so like the Robots in Disguise ones are a different breed of thing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you're completely alone, Don, and just being like, let's have Minicons be part of the past.
So at one point, I tired of Minicons. At one point, I tired of Spy Changers. I am getting close to tiring of Combiners. Yes, I said it. So, I never quite tired, though, of, speaking of Combiners, of Power Core Combiners. Never got tired of those.
Around long enough.
Yeah, never got tired of those.
If we get some new molds in Combiner Wars, you won't be tired of
them. That's exactly right.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have hoped for the back half of 2016. The first half of 2016 not looking too hot. Besides Skylanks, of course.
Yeah. And the shame is, because Devastator is much larger than the other Combiner Wars, he can never be repurposed for any of the other Combiners. So.
Well, the other shame is it's so much bigger, it doesn't feel like it's part of Combiner Wars.
True.
So, like, it doesn't do anything to pave over the mold reruns.
Hey, so
is that really a shame, or is that a good thing that we won't get Devastator as another Combiner?
So, if Devastator were smaller, it would be way easier to repaint him into all the colors that he needs to be repainted into.
Like,
yes,
I would not have a problem if Devastator was a smaller toy. I would not have a problem with it being rerun as a G1-ified updated Rid Landfill.
Yeah. I'd take it. Even though wouldn't necessarily make sense.
It would not make sense, and that's why I put the qualifiers to it. Because, like, it wouldn't be an exact analog, but it's a thing they could do with it. It's in various colors. You know, it would not just be another Devastator as such.
I would want the Diaclone colors.
So yeah.
You would still have two green scavengers, though.
Yeah. Hey, okay. So,
different color, though.
So we're talking about repainted Combiner War stuff. So let's jump to the news. Wave 4, mostly monochrome Optimus Maximus. We now know what he looks like, all transformed and opened up. He's boring.
Yeah.
Okay, like this. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I put mostly monochrome for one because they picked the, four whitest transformers they could find to be the limbs, with the exception of Air Raid over there. But yeah, there had been some speculation for a while that the inner torso had been modified in some way, but it does not seem to be the case now.
Now, are we sure the folks behind Man of Steel didn't go in and remove all the colors before this picture was published?
No, that's far too bright.
Yeah. So it's not dull looking. It's just
boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it were all that kind of drab gray as the thighs, then yes, that would be them.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like they went out of their way to make sure there was no color on that thing because they even put the white third party hands and feet on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that put this together wanted the whitest possible Combiner.
Yeah, I think Man of Steel came up in conversation last week, and I didn't mention. Rob and I saw that in the theater together.
Yes, we did.
It was pretty
awesome. I'm sorry. Now, just imagine this this Optimus, and then put Rodimus right in the middle of that. It's almost like he's doing like a super robot chest attack with his chest glowing or something, because that's going to just stand out like...
I get what you're saying there. I can see that, yeah.
It'll definitely add some much-needed color to this, because...
But is it too much of the wrong color, just as far as... it's too much... I mean, you got just red in a sea of white and black.
Well, I don't know.
We'll have to see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Yeah. I'm not gonna pick him up because I'm just gonna say I've got Optimus from the first wave and he's gonna be my Masquerade Minosaur as best as I can assemble.
So I've seen somebody working on upgrade parts to make basically turn this mold into a Thunderclash. And okay, depending where that goes with that, I might get interested in Battlecore Optimus.
We need a Thunderclash.
We do.
Or if someone makes a decent, like, Nova Prime upgrade kit to work with this, that would also be an option.
Okay. I would rather have a Thunderclash.
Yeah.
Well, Thunderclash is almost only the greatest Transformer in the history of Transformers.
Yes.
Almost?
I'll notice it only.
They had to surgically remove the Matrix from his chest.
Yes.
It just didn't want to leave.
No. God, Thunderclash is awesome. Okay. So, so, moving along. TFCon Charlotte 2015, Greg Berger will attend.
Yeah.
Yay. Awesome. I'm trying to think of the last time I saw Greg Berger at a BotCon. Was that 2012? Or, man.
It's not been too far back. I can't remember for sure.
Maybe I'm thinking about Greg Berger. They finally showed Grimlock from War for Cybertron, or Fall of Cybertron, whichever one it was at the point.
That was 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the sad thing is, you know, with there's no Grimlock on the shelf right now that you can go get to take for him to autograph, because all the Grimlocks we have, he didn't do any of the voices for. So that's kind of a...
What do you know?
There's like 8 versions of the Masterpiece Grimlock out there, though, you can go buy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For
ridiculous
amounts of money.
I know. I just mean something like if you want to get an autograph... on his autograph on something on a character he did, there's nothing readily cheap available on shelves right now.
Since you're going to be at a Transformers convention, you shouldn't have too much trouble finding a Fall of Cybertron Grimlock for not too much.
Yeah. Well, the problem is a lot of the times though, the dealers if the voice actor is there, their toys are usually priced higher that show because of that reason.
Oh, of course.
Because when Mike McConaughey was there with me, and all the G1 Cosmoses were like $20 to $25 at that point for a loose G1 Cosmos. So I finally found the G1 Collector's card for $1.
You could find...
Don, I got an idea. I see here that he was also the voice Skyfire, so you can take your Kronos and have him sign that, and... however much it costs to get his autograph, it'll instantly increase the value of that figure by that much.
That's
so
better
it'll
than
go
my
from zero to about...
You keep bashing my Kronos. When we get a little further down the list, we'll talk.
Yeah. So you can get Lockdown, because he was locked down in Rise of the Darkspark. I'm certain you can still find that on the shelf at Toys R Us. Yeah. Okay. But, he'll be at TFCon...
so-
Charlotte.
Now we need David K to sign on for TFCon Charlotte, and they can have a Grimlock off.
Oh. Let's see here what else we have. So MP11 Starscream, the U.S. release was up for pre-order.
For like 5 minutes?
Yeah, but it's only only $60.
I know. And it was like
which is why it sold out really insanely quickly.
Yes. And you know what's going to happen? Everybody who got a pre-order in is going to find that they've been canceled when the price gets raised $20.
Yep.
Yeah. And also the fact, wasn't it a limit of 5 per person?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't even hear about it until after it was already... Yeah, but it's like, that 5 per person, you know some of those are going to be going elsewhere. Is it fun?
So what I'm thinking is similar to when Grimlock got re-released in the Masterpiece series, they used the old price from when it was originally released, and that's why I think people did get Grimlock at that price. So there is a possibility that people will get their Star Screams at $59.99, but by the time it gets to the store, it's probably going to be up to $80.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If the $59.99 price holds up, that pretty much gives us all but proof that Masterpiece, Prowl, and Blue Streak are the price they are because of the licensing fees, which we've suspected anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if I see one in stores, I have the first Starscream from Walmart. Granted, it's the old mold. It'll be if I have a coupon or a coupon code or something if I pick that up.
The good news is the Starscream probably will not be in as much demand as that Walmart release was, because there's been correct colored Masterpiece Starscreams available before. That's why that Walmart one was such a hot ticket, because
Yeah.
The Japanese version was the realistic colors, not the accurate colors.
And I never got the that or the Takara re-release, the USA edition, as it was called. So I really want this. And, of course, this is the better mold, so I'm glad I didn't get the other. Hey, so last week on last week's episode or this weekend's episode, past weekend's episode of Being Awesome with Rob Springer, Rob teased for several weeks on Being Awesome about some big news at TFCon. And so it turns out that TFCon Charlotte, if it has fantastic attendance, quote-unquote, will continue in 2016 alongside TFCon Chicago. That is... What fantastic attendance mean is entirely TBD, and it's not defined. So hopefully it will have fantastic attendance, because I would love to have a convention to go to every year.
Yeah, that means support the show.
Yeah.
Well, most of us are going to be there, so that's pretty fantastic attendance.
Yeah, but it's...
That's true. I love that.
I think it needs a few more people than just us.
Well, that's why we're telling people go.
Well, it depends on your definition of fantastic.
Yeah. We don't get a lot of shows. Some of us are fairly fantastic on the East Coast. We don't get a lot of conventions on the East Coast. So if you want to keep getting conventions on the East Coast, support them.
So, because I'm completely independent of all this, I will say the thing that bugs me about this is it says, quote, fantastic attendance without any kind of strict definition of what something is. I'm certain they don't know that yet. Or Dave and Colin are certainly not required to tell us what that number is or that threshold is. But I just can't get too excited about it without, you know, some idea of what fantastic attendance means.
My guess is there's an abstract notion of what they want, and that is to have what happened in Chicago last fall happen in Charlotte this year, where the attendance just completely blows out what they expect to get.
And that did happen in Charlotte before for Shardicon, so, you know, there's a shot.
Well, Shardicon did really well as far as the attendance, but not well enough to actually guarantee a second Shardicon. So.
But Shardicon had no name recognition behind it. TFCon does. People know what to expect. They like to support TFCon. I think it will do much better.
So, yeah, but the whole thing is, like, they're trying to associate TFCon to Shardicon. And Shardicon now, I think, has quite a bit more cachet because there are people like us who talk about how fantastic it was, and it was. Mm-hmm. But, like, if TFCon has, you know, a lot of name recognition, sure, but not as much in the U.S. I think Shardicon, at least in the Southeast, probably has more name recognition, honestly. So
TFCon in the U.S. is making its name just with what it did in Chicago, which, you know, has gone over really well with everybody who went. You know, it has the same kind of thing as Shardicon, where people are talking it up really big. Combining that with the stories of Shardicon, I think the Charlotte show has a good chance to do what they want it to.
Yeah, I hope so. Like, and I love Shardicon so much, and it was basically a fantastic convention ran by people who do not organize conventions, and it was like a million to one shot of it actually being any good, and it really was.
Yeah.
And I don't know. TFCon Chicago was great, wasn't Shardicon. It might have been technically ran better and all of that, but it didn't feel the same. It didn't feel as guerrilla as as Shardicon did. Shardicon really felt like a movement, where TFCon just – it feels like a really, really well-ran convention. So, like, I don't know. It's until TFCon Charlotte happens, I'm going to be mildly skeptical. But I am really looking forward to it. I mean, I seriously am. I'm looking forward to seeing people hanging out and stuff like that. And that's why I go to any convention. Mm-hmm. So,
and
yeah.
Speaking of conventions, the next New Jersey Comic Con, there was one this weekend that I attended. And the next one is November 8th. It's a Sunday, and I will be there, and I will have a table.
Oh, so wait, it's in a couple weeks?
November.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said, yeah. I thought you said in a couple weeks. Yeah, neat.
So if you're in the New Jersey area, definitely come check out NJCC on November 8th.
Very cool.
Buy some of my stuff.
Now, what day was that, Doc?
Can you please buy my product?
You know, Sunday, you said?
Sunday.
It's just one day?
It's just one day.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Okay. Hey, so did anybody else not buy those G.I. Joe crossover club exclusive figures like I did?
I want to, but I wish the old Snake was in with the Magnus and RC that we're getting next year as an only human set, and the Bats were like a pack of three troop builders, because to me that makes a little more sense. But, you know, it's just, I want all the human figures for obvious reasons. It's just, I really don't want the stuff they're with.
Don, I can guarantee you, if you get that set of old Snake and the Bats, someone will buy those Bats off you because they want to troop build and they don't want to have an army of old Snakes.
The thing about the old Snake figure, it's not so dissimilar from other Cobra Commander figures that I feel like you have to have it. That Marissa Fairborn figure, on the other hand, is pretty awesome, but the afterburner that it comes with...
Afterbreaker.
That it comes with is... I mean, I can't help but just see it being that pack-in figure from Rise of Revenge, whatever the heck the second movie was.
Yeah, it's
Retaliation.
Yeah, I just really wish the humans were together in a set. I mean, I know what you're saying there, Chris, and I agree. It's just assortments are not what I would prefer.
Now, if they could get Old Snake with a Miko, I would love that.
I didn't say that.
Old Snake has nothing to do with Miko.
I'm saying, like I said, I've always wanted to see Joe bodies used for the humans from Transformers through the ages. You know, I would like to see a 5-pack of like only human, the 4 humans and Old Snake.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm getting. But
I have to say, at this point, I would probably just buy a third party. Like if somebody, Dr. Wu or somebody did that.
Yeah.
What I want is figures scaled to ride in Ultra Magnus.
Yeah.
Which the Mega Bloks figures fit, right?
Basically, yeah.
You could paint one of those up as a little almost human Ultra Magnus and stick him in there.
As far as I have not found a Mega Bloks figure that looks like it's dressed in overalls. So you'd either have to be really creative with the paint to make that work, or, you know, just kind of accept that it's not quite there.
I would love to have some conveniently colored overalls. That would be great. Hey, so if you're watching live, you've seen some technical difficulties. You know what would help? Go to tfradio.net/Amazon.
That's a lie. That won't help at all, but do it anyway.
And buy the stuff you're already going to buy. You can buy toilet paper. Our friend Anthony from tfu.info sent us a lot of great things that you could buy.
Okay. Great is not the word I would use.
Not running the show, though, Don.
The one that I'm going to cite that it's a little too personal. A portable toilet that you wear. Yes.
The other one's called the Wiener Cleaner. Use your imagination.
Follow TFU_info on Twitter for more wonderful suggestions on items that you can get from tfradio.net/Amazon. My recommendation right now is a Devastator. tfradio.net/Devastator, still available. And also, Viper just showed up. So if you want a troop build Viper, totally worth it.
And they're also cheaper than Toys R Us.
Yes.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out the Devastators are now cheaper than Toys R Us, and you get free shipping automatically because it's over $35.
About $20 cheaper than Toys R Us, last I checked.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because unless they've gone up again, they've jumped $20 in the past 3 weeks.
Yeah. It's great.
Free shipping.
So if you've held off, just go ahead and get it. tfradio.net/Devastator.
And if you buy 4 Vipers, they're free shipping also.
We're selling a lot of stuff.
4 Vipers.
And it'll help keep the show from crashing, hopefully.
But do it anyway.
And the best thing about having an army of Vipers means you'll have really clean windows.
Don, when you made that joke via email last night, I'm like, I just shook my head.
Well, no one replied, so
I was too busy shaking my head.
Oh, okay. Don, you have paladined that joke.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I read it this morning.
He palled in the joke in the first place because it wasn't actually funny the first time he told it. And then he kept telling it, so that compounds.
No, that's the second. That's the second time I've mentioned it, including the first email last night.
No, it's not, Don.
Yes,
no,
it is.
I'm pretty sure. Hey, no, so really hey, not. How about that Pandinus or whatever its name is?
I love it.
So we have a shot of third-party test shots and prototypes from Fans Project, Make Toys and More, from the Facebook page Ages 3 and Up. And Pandinus, which we saw the test shot of in person, is freaking huge. And here's a photo of it.
It is so big. It, like, I really like the design and want one. I don't know what I would ever do with it.
There is so much plastic in that thing.
I wish it would have been in a more stable state where they could have let us pick it up. Because I cannot imagine that thing is... That has to be super heavy.
Well, Utopia is no slouch. I mean, Utopia's got a lot of weight to him.
I know, but, like, they had Dystopias there and a Utopia on display, I think, and Pandinus looked a lot more massive.
Not height-wise, but mass-wise, Pandas right. blew Utopia out of the water.
Oh, yeah. Just...
Is that the first time we've seen the Fans Project Grimlock? Is that what that is? That looks pretty good.
The Chibi Grimlock?
No, not the Chibi.
Is that the XO Realm?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was at TFCon in Toronto.
The Lost XO Realm?
Yeah.
That looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah, it was. Because isn't that... No, we were disappointed by the Swoop. Not the Swoop, by the female one. The,
right.
The one with boobs. It's just not good.
Well, you know...
That
you
is
know,
such that, a great description.
Wait,
well, you know, well it's possible that figure's still early in the life cycle. So, I mean, there could be some more tweaks.
No.
Because, like, they got the CG render of that, too, and it looks just the same. It's not a matter of bad prototype. It's just the way it's designed.
So it's not a matter of bad prototype. It's a matter of bad taste.
And I'll tell you the thing about the Slash that really makes me mad is I believe that's Lost XO Realm 5, which means we have to go through that one to get to Snarl.
Yeah.
So is this the MMC or Make Toys? I can't remember. I lose track. Hardhead.
That should make toys.
So yeah. This is the third time we've had a third-party Headmaster Hardhead.
Yeah,
we've seen like design renders for a Fans Project one.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's the Hardbone.
There's the Head Robots upgrade kit, which I guess kind of counts. There's this, and then there's what Fans Project is doing.
Yeah, so, it's crazy.
I do like the looks of that Hardhead, but I'm sticking with the Function X line. Because, you know, we've seen the pictures for Croc. Is it Croc?
Crocs.
Yep. Crocs.
Yeah. Crocs, yeah.
The Function X line is too small. The Make Toys is too large.
That's because the Make Toys are trying to be, you know, Masterpiece
They're
scale.
So way out of scale for Masterpiece. It's ridiculous.
I don't think they're that out of scale.
Cupola was like the size of Ultraman.
So you have Cupola?
Yeah.
Diecast, did you get it?
I ordered it. Didn't ship yet.
So Cupola is the size of Ultra Magnus, which is, i.e., way too large for that toy.
I thought it was the size of Prime.
No, he's taller than...
Oh, he's bigger than Prime.
Yeah, he's taller than MPT.
Which is still too big.
Yeah. Now, for the people that's been looking at these pictures, the visualizers, they are out now at several online stores. I am very tempted by them, but I want to pick up Carrie first. But I really like the way they turned out.
Yeah, I really want Carrie. Yeah,
those are nice looking reflectors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's it's just that Carrie is a little more important to me than the reflectors, but. There's several reviews online by now for the visualizers, and I'm kind of a spoiler thing, but it's interesting that the lens on the camera mode, each robot has a part of the lens inside, so that helps connect the figures together other than just the slots on the side.
Interesting.
Like, you're not taking those parts off to make the lens either. They all stay attached to figure they're part of.
Oh, God, I hope it's not complicated.
Oh, no, it's just folds out and overlays each other in three layers, but there's no parts forming.
So Don said that carry is more important. So since I live in a world that has Cloud Rodimus, it's certainly not more important to me than the visualizer, so...
Well, to me, carry is a better representation of Rodimus than Cloud Rodimus.
Carry is a really good-looking Rodimus figure. I don't know that I need to have it, because the Cloud one's quite nice. And I already have that.
Stopping me on these Make Toys visualizers is the fans toys that are going to be coming out.
Yeah.
I just like the feel of fans toys stuff. Yeah. It's really nice.
Well, Diecast, have you got a link for that? Because I don't remember seeing those.
I mean, you can just Google it.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you might have one handy.
No, I'm sorry. I don't. I mean, fans toys, I think the engineering is probably better on the Make Toys.
People
stuff.
Listening to the podcast, Don was just attacked by his cat.
No, nice. I thought he wanted a belly rub because he was laying upside down with his belly
it's
up.
It's a trap, Don.
It's a trap, yes.
Don't you know cats?
Yeah. Okay, Don, let me just get this out there, and this is all you.
Okay.
Mechaform Sky Guardian is the first figure from a third-party company. Mm-hmm. It's a new homage to Skyfire / Jetfire.
Yeah.
Pre-orders are up for only $169.
Take my money right now. Here you go.
Does anybody like this?
Rob Springer said it best. It looks like one of those quick change figures from Big Lots.
It is derpy. It is derpy. I'll give them credit, though, because we saw this figure first, like, over a year ago, and I was like, yeah, that'll never get made. But apparently, it's actually closer to getting made, which is further than I thought it would ever get. But who would spend $170 on this?
Yeah, the jet mode's not bad.
It's not good, Don.
It's not good, but I'm saying it's not bad. But the rope, again, based on these early pictures... It does not look as good as Kronos does in robot mode. The robot mode here, to me, without comparing, having seen side-by-side pics, it does not invoke Skyfire as much as Kronos does.
And let's just make this clear. He's saying that something looks worse than Kronos.
Yeah.
Well, and hey, so far, I kind of think
let that
right.
sink in.
It does. He's right, though. Yeah, like Rob said.
I mean... So, you know, I said this on Twitter. For all of Kronos' technical faults in robot mode, that is the Skyfire robot I have always wanted for my collection. Visually, he's almost perfect to me for a Skyfire sitting on the shelf looking cool.
So, Diecast, I forget. Other than the way it looks, what was your problem with Kronos? Did it break?
It's garbage quality. And some of the detailing, like the lines in his legs, don't go anywhere or connect all the way through like they should. It looks good. It's a nice sculpt. I like the head. I get Don's point. It looks good in robot mode, but it doesn't do enough for me to justify this being in my collection.
How much was it? $200?
No,
it was like 50.
Yeah, because we were all kind of looking forward to that based on the earlier shots, but then the creator, the company of the creator, there were issues, some factory issues. It's a whole ball of wax that doesn't need to be repeated right now. But I hope this gentleman that designed Kronos can get with a decent factory and another, maybe work with another third party, because I think that figure has at the core merit of being retweeted and re-released as an even better Skyfire.
I hope I never see that designer again.
Kronos's, so Rob, you Kronos' transformation was pretty disappointing too, if I recall.
Yeah,
it was. It's
a bad transformation. The designer is not a decent guy. And
he's a terrible human being. He kicks puppies.
Yeah.
No.
He's Cobra Commander?
I know a lot of people that hope to never see him again.
And if you're a fan of the show and you designed Kronos, we don't really mean it. We're just entertainers.
So, Rob, you had an interesting observation on Twitter this morning about Skyfire versus Jetfire.
Yeah, the thing is that, you know, for copyright reasons, Skyfire had to be as different from Jetfire as he could possibly be. And Jetfire, unfortunately, is sleek, dynamic, and interesting.
Yeah.
Now, like, on the flip side of that, I kind of appreciate the Skyfire design for basically being a Transformers core booster.
Yes.
And if somebody could actually do that as a toy correctly, I'd be really interested in that.
Yeah, that is...
And I'm still waiting.
Yeah. In terms of robot mode looks, Leader Class Jetfire is as close to the Skyfire model as I ever need to get, personally.
So the thing, that though, that Skyfire has over Jetfire is that he's a scientist. That makes him better.
My instant comment on Twitter about this, at Diecast2, was... I wonder how long this will take to go clearance.
Yeah.
I'm guessing pretty quick.
It's pretty rough looking. You know what? The thing is, if this is the designer's first go, I mean, they can get better. A lot of these guys, after two or three, get really good. Mm-hmm. So not to discourage the person who's out there, because, I mean, they very well could be listening to the show. We're not beating up on you, but we're not really crazy about this. So hopefully you learn something from what you're putting together.
Yeah, and
to anybody
out
there,
figure to put out there right now, knowing Fans Toys is working on a Skyfire.
To anybody out there who's looking to get into the third party releases, I suggest not starting with a $160 release.
That's a good point. So I know there are people out there who develop third party stuff that listen, more than one. And you know, I'm sometimes kinda tough on people. But really it's $160 for something like this.
Well, I've got an example. I've used this example before, but like you said, this is someone's new show, first show all the time. If you're going to do a third party figure, start with something like what Mega Ideas did by making a classic style pair of jump starters, top spin and twin twist. These were about $70 for the pair. They're very well done. And Chris has the show exclusive version that they did. They're well built, and they do not break your wallet on the first go around from a company. This is probably one of the strongest initial releases I've ever seen in a third party since I've been buying them.
Especially
and another
for the price.
And another possibility, for, you know, there's got to be a lot of MicroMasters out there that need updated if you want to have an economical, you know, entry into third party, and also something that you can learn on without, you know, bankrupting yourself or anybody else.
So one thing I want to point out, and on the last minicast, had Diecast and Don on it, and they were going back and forth on scale, especially when it comes to Masterpiece. And I got to back Don on this, because Don was 100% right in the way that he was talking about. Yeah, Don, you're totally right in talking about scale. But the third party stuff, I know that you can print out like prototypes and stuff, but it's not cheap. It's still time intensive. Sometimes without having something in your hand to look at, figuring out the right scale, you can totally screw up. So maybe sometimes that's why these figures come out at $160 when they probably should have scaled the thing down to, you know, $80. It's just that once you basically go so far, you can't really turn around without losing a lot of money.
And I want to say before we move on, if Brian's right and there's third-party companies listening to this podcast, prove me wrong. Send me a review copy. I'll do a review. And if it really is a good figure, I'll tell people it's a good figure. So just throwing that out there.
I also think in the current climate, a good place for like newer third-party companies to start is with like Legend scale stuff, because that can be sold cheap. It doesn't take a lot of material and development time to get one going. You know,
I'll say one thing. I think it requires more skill to do those, because you have to.
It depends on the design you're going for. Well, I think
you have to rely on panels and clips or whatever less. It's harder to get like something really with a lot of character in a smaller toy like that. I think it requires more design chops to do that than it does like a big monstrous
shell
former.
I think it's more approachable to learn off of, though. just because there's less going into it in the first place.
And it's almost certainly, I would say, more likely to sell.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, because right now in the third-party world, these little commander class size figures are getting to be pretty popular, like the War in the Pocket. That's the Beast Hunters Roadbuster.
Mm.
You know, the DX9 War in the Pocket, the Sky Snake Starscream that just came out from the other company. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this smaller commander class size figures, like Power Core Combiner size figures, wouldn't require as much money, and it's a popular size because people are got. I don't have anywhere for this 12-inch tall figure.
Well, and just in general, they are a much more approachable price point. You know, they still have third-party markup because of how they're produced, but if you can get one of those for $25 versus getting a deluxe or bigger size thing for $70 or $80, I mean, there's really no contest.
Well, heck, if Mech Ideas would keep, or if anyone would keep doing these size figures in different characters at this quality, like two of them for $70, you know, I'd buy them all day long if it was characters, you know, that I wanted. But this
of course, there were special circumstances for those Jumpstarter figures.
Yeah. Hey, so another company is sort of throwing their hat in the arena.
Oh, boy.
Spark Toy is showing off a figure that is basically Hulkbuster Optimus. It is based on the Dreamwave Cybertronian Optimus Prime figure. But to me, he just kind of looks like Hulkbuster Iron Man.
The one thing that's going for it, I think, is that it's going to be better than the Titanium figure, which is the only other transforming toy of this design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, and I really like this. That's the one I saw the prototype of at New Jersey Comic Con this weekend, or New Jersey Collectors Con, or. Yeah.
What'd you think?
I liked it in person. It was very impressive.
It doesn't look bad.
I wish I would have saw them transform it, because I took photos in vehicle mode, and I walked around, and they actually transformed it into robot mode. And normally with the gray prototypes, they won't transform them. So I was really shocked that it was transformed when I went back, and I took more photos and put them on Twitter. And I like it. I really think I might pick this up. It's just a beautiful size. It's like masterpiece size.
Yeah, I was going to say
9 inches tall.
Yeah, it's roughly masterpiece size. So, I mean, like Don was saying, I kind of wish they would drop the third party companies would stop looking at that masterpiece scale.
I love that scale.
I love masterpiece. I mean, I really do. But
I mean, this to me more looks like going for like leader class scale.
That could be. Yeah, I'd buy that.
I wish I had a lot more desire for this figure, because I have the Titanium, and it's a noble effort. Just
a lot of Titanium, Don.
Yeah, there wasn't enough mass in the figure to support the character design, really, and also the weight of the diecast kind of made stuff a little floppy. This isn't one I'm going to be picking up myself, but I love the way it turned out, at least as far as this prototype goes.
Yeah, I mean, it looks nice, but, like, I don't have a lot of nostalgia for Dreamwave, like, at all. I mean, like, if somebody did a third-party upgrade kit for Devastator that had the Doll Surprise, I might buy that, but like in general, I don't have any Dreamwave nostalgia.
Is, even if you wanted a figure to embody Dreamwave as a concept, you would get Revoltech Optimus Prime.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, my opinion
is the closest
you'll
ever get to Pat Lee art in 3D.
I mean, it's intended. It's based off Pat Lee art.
It is.
And what's weird is you could probably just do one face of Doll Surprise, and it would clip on all these different figures to be the exact.
I know I don't have any affiliation with Dreamwave Comics either, and it's just a really interesting looking Prime to me. It even has a Matrix in the center of the chest. I'm going to get it just because I really like that it's some sort of Optimus Prime that's different from what I have. That's why I really like the Beast Hunters Optimus Prime. Is that the Voyager size?
Do you have an Armada Optimus?
What's that?
Do you have an Armada Optimus?
Yes.
Like that to me is the best expression of Optimus without being traditional Optimus. this doesn't look like an Optimus at all, this War Within design to me. Like, I see the head on there, and when it's in color, yes, Optimus colors, but the design is so far removed. I mean, it
could be anybody, but it's a design that I enjoy anyway.
It's why I said the Hulkbuster Optimus, because he's kind of got this little stubby head that just sort of hides there, you know, behind all the bulk.
Huge shoulders.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. It is certainly not bad, but it doesn't do – kind of like the Deadpool trailer, it doesn't do anything for me.
So,
how dare you?
Like I have been colored by the Chris McFeely thing, and it's just changed my attitude on Deadpool entirely. And I will quote it here because it's my favorite quote about Deadpool. It's people that still care about Deadpool, the people who still think that Carnage is Spider-Man's best villain, and that's like drop the mic, the perfect way to describe Deadpool.
I didn't care about Deadpool till I started seeing those Ryan Reynolds trailers, and then I was like, yes, so, I am seeing this. Deadpool is awesome.
Well, that's different.
I still don't care about Deadpool.
Yeah, well, that's different because you're a new fan. So, but people who like have held on to Deadpool for years are, yeah, I'm sorry. It's kind of like people who, like, hold on to Power Pack. Or, yeah, sorry, Don.
Or Kim Possible.
Or Kim, well.
It's a good show.
Well, if y'all would open your minds and try to enjoy something decent.
Hey, so on the network this week, Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek, the movie, Star Trek V, The Final Frontier.
Yeah, that one movie of Star Trek.
Chris, how did y'all make it through that movie sane-ish? I mean, how did you just...
Sane-ish?
It's so bad.
What does God need with a starship?
What does God? Yes. Well, there's a reason it's called Star Trek V: The Search for Plot.
Yeah, I like Star Trek V. I love Star Trek V. It's not good.
Yeah, that's one of those movies that you like for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
Yeah. Just as a rule,
it's like the opposite of what Fantastic Four looks like.
Yeah, it's like we were talking about before the show. You know. There were people who were heavily invested in making it. I mean, especially Shatner, obviously.
Yes, you can appreciate that it's just one gigantic tribute to Shatner's ego.
Yeah, you know, passion projects are have the highest capacity for hilarity because nobody else is ever going to love them as much as the people who made them.
Exactly.
And the best thing about Star Trek V is some of the background information too, like how Cybok's horse was supposed to be literally a unicorn.
Nice.
Until Roddenberry vetoed it.
Was it Roddenberry? Because I'd heard he wasn't really involved very much with Star Trek V. Matter of fact,
I think he made an exception for that because unicorn.
Okay.
So, like, Shockery is named after Sean Connery.
Yeah, because Sean Connery was supposed to be Cybok originally.
But decided to make a good movie instead.
What did he make in place of this?
Last Crusade. Stones on the Last Crusade.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Okay, so, like, what you have to remember with Star Trek V, it came out against Last Crusade, Tim Burton Batman, and other things I can't remember off the top of my head, but those two were funny. Yeah, I mean, it had the worst stack against it that summer.
Yeah. Yeah, so
and also the worst stack against it in production. Listen to the podcast; it's very informative.
I downloaded it. I can't wait to listen. And also, did you guys ever decide? I'm assuming that you guys talked about the source of the Enterprise.
Hmm?
So the Enterprise. Is it a retrofit? Is it a new build? Did you get into that?
We just talked under the flat assumption that they just renamed another ship.
Yeah, okay. That is what they did.
I think, to spoil the episode, I think what I said is that they took out the USS Lorenzo Lamas and renamed it the Enterprise.
Nice.
Well, actually, I remember having – I think I had the Marvel Comics color adaptation, you know, the photo film books of that. And I think in that they said they took one of the other – they took one of the other Constellation ships and made it
Constitution.
Into – Constitution. I'm sorry. They took the name of one of the next ships in the fleet and basically just renamed it Enterprise. Mm-hmm. I remember that being in that book, I believe.
Canonically though, I don't think it was ever established that coloring book aside.
I used to own at least one edition of the Star Trek Encyclopedia, and I swear the name of the ship that was used was in there, but I cannot remember.
I mean, the name of the ship.
Either they renamed a ship, they built it very, very, very fast.
So that's the controversy. That's the controversy.
Well,
so,
that's the thing, though, because like they decommissioned it after about 7 years, and they're not going to do that with the ship they just built.
Yeah, that's the controversy. So,
because like in the Star Trek universe, you use a starship for literally 80 years, and maybe even longer, because Excelsiors were still in use in the first half of Next Generation.
Yeah,
and maybe Deep Space Nine. I can't remember. Yeah, yeah, because the Lakota was an Excelsior.
Yep.
Well, they talked about retiring the 1701 Enterprise because it was 20 years old.
Well,
just recycled the design.
They blew it
up. But Kirk put like 100,000 space miles on it in that time.
Yeah.
They kind of had to. It was falling apart.
Okay.
But it was okay because he blew it up instead.
So
it was just easier to sterilize or to decommission that one than sterilize it after Kirk was done with it. So.
I like that. Okay, so and Get the Skinny this week, John shares his first CrossFit experience.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was pretty awesome.
Listen for more details.
On the minicast this week, John Diecast and Don discuss a lot of stuff. From Detolfs to Devastator.
More.
Masterpiece, scale, third-party stuff. It's a pretty packed show.
I'm knee-deep in Detolfs.
Yeah. And this week in Awesome, Being Awesome this week, Rob talks about TFCon Charlotte. Hey, Rob, what's going on T-Formers this week?
Okay, well, this week I've got a review of Transformers versus G.I. Joe number 8, and XV's got Transformers issue 44. And also there's some excerpts and a link to a really good interview with Margaret Scott and Corinne Howell, who, of course, are currently working on Windblade. And, of course, Margaret Scott also wrote the Combiner Hunters one-shot and worked on Combiner Wars. So a lot of interesting information in there. So that's pretty much the highlights.
Cool. Hey, so real quick, I just want to mention this to talk about this. So I am going on vacation at the end of next month. And my wife has been spending all of her mental energy trying to sort this out. And ironically, I will need somebody to cover the show at the end of September. So basically, we're going to Florida. We're going to Disney first. But the question is, are we going to Universal Studios where they could ride Transformers the Ride? Or are we going to Legoland?
Legoland.
So
no. Legoland, if you're taking your wife.
Legoland is more for kids, isn't it?
Lego is all ages appropriate, Diecast.
We looked at the rides that were available when we were down in Florida, and it looked like it was more kiddie than anything. So we opted not to go to Legoland. Plus, it was about 45 minutes to an hour away from Orlando.
So all of us who here has actually ridden Transformers the Ride, Rob and I have.
I have.
So Kim hasn't, my nephew hasn't, and I'm going with my mother-in-law as well. She hasn't. Should I subject them to the ride? It's fun.
No. Yeah, it's an okay ride. My mother-in-law went on it.
I have a problem with roller coasters and things like that. Not from a sickness standpoint, just for various reasons. And but I had a lot of fun on the Transformers ride. But even though you know you're on a rail and you're not actually falling, there's one part where when you are falling down the building, it's just
– it scared the crap out of me the first time I did it.
Yeah, so yeah. So if they have any problem with heights, I would be kind of just – you know, again, it's the whole visual trickery of the way it's set up.
Rob and I got to ride it as many times as we wanted to with no weight, basically. And I know I have a pretty good feeling of how the ride is. But, like, my wife and everybody will have to wait, like, an hour and a half or 2 hours to actually get on it. So,
well,
and the ride is the main reason that I would actually go back to Universal Studios would be for the Transformers ride so that I could share that experience with Kim because she couldn't go back in when Rob and I went because she got the flu while we were
would
there.
Would Kim care about the Transformers ride?
I think she would enjoy it a lot.
Yeah.
All I can say is that you know, from my perspective on that.
So, Rob, can you repeat that? I lost you.
I said my recommendation would be not to do that, like, first thing after a, like, full day of travel, because that was a lot to attempt to process when I was that tired.
I agree with you. So, fortunately, we'll be going to Disney first. We'll be spending, like, three or four days there. Mm-hmm. Then we would go to the last leg and go either to Universal Studios or to Legoland. And,
well, Brian, just a quick question. Couldn't you drop a day at Disney and then do both? So that way you wouldn't have to compromise?
Disney is... How many days are you doing Disney?
3 or 4. I'm not certain.
You're going to need... I mean, Disney takes at least 4 days to...
Okay. All right. See, I've never actually been to Disney other than...
I know people who spent a whole week at Disney and still didn't get to do everything they planned to.
I spent a day at Universal Studios and didn't get to do everything I wanted, so...
Interesting, interesting, interesting. This is food for thought, guys. I think we're going to Legoland.
Hooray, XV was right.
Yes.
Well, at least we'll get to hear how it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll be posting photos to Facebook and Twitter. At BKilby, by the way. Guys, Don, what's your Twitter?
At HMRC, the number 4, EVR.
I don't know what that means. Chris?
What?
Yes, Diecast. Diecast 2.
At Diecast 2.
Matt doesn't have it.
Non-existent.
Rob Clay is at Rob?
At RAC2750.
And John?
That John D.
Sweet. So I'm mentioning Twitter because we used to do that every show, and we don't do it anymore. And I want to hit 1,000 followers because I don't have 1,000 followers, and I need that. So
you really don't know what my Twitter handle stands for?
I'm joking, Don.
Okay, I was going to say.
I'm joking. And Chris is at Chris something something. XRV.
I'm going to go change my username to that. Chris something something.
It used to be easy. Now it's like something. Twitter.
Although I think that would exceed the character limit, unfortunately.
Twitter.
Oh, wow. At some point I passed 400 followers. When did that happen?
Cool.
Although I bet half of them are robots.
Oh, yeah, of course. Half of anyone's followers are robots.
Are you still squatting Sad Riker?
Yes, I am, because I still get email notifications for it.
Very nice.
Okay.
At BKilby, please follow.
Maybe I should just make Sad Riker my primary Twitter.
You should.
No, I'm not doing that.
I should actually just make... Yeah, never mind. Okay.
I came up with that.
As it happens, I'm squatting about 15 Twitter accounts, but most of them, there's no point in mentioning those.
I'm squatting several RFC-related accounts.
I'm not.
So Brian, how many domains do you own now? That
I can tell you.
That's okay. I'm just kidding.
Not as many as I used to.
Well, you dropped the best one.
Blah blah Digimon.
Blah blah Digimon. Yeah.
Right now I only have.
You could use that when Tri comes out.
Domain manager. This is enthralling radio.
Yeah.
So, but I need to know. I've got to satisfy my curiosity. Only 23.
Only 23.
22. This one doesn't belong to me. I'm just hosting it on. I'm hosting the DNS for it. And most of them are RFC stuff. Only 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 are not. So they are various things around our podcast or projects that I want to do eventually. Like, I still have JoeCast and CobraCast. Eventually, I will use those. Even if I just point to somebody else. Yeah. Yes. Man, I have TMNTpodcast.com, and it doesn't get used anymore.
You still have SHT Podcast, right?
Yeah.
Sure. I need to start utilizing that.
Yeah. Let me know that when you do, because I need to actually point it.
Why don't you just go ahead and point it?
Yeah, I guess I could. Okay, that's it. People watching
great
live.
Great podcasting, guys.
Yes. Apologize for the video crash. If you're listening, you have no idea what I'm talking about. We'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Take care, everybody.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network.
Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Any part of this podcast can and should be redistributed, but please, proper attribution is required if you know what's good for you.
Transformers. It's better than crack.